Good evening. Welcome to Jordan Park. It's good to have everyone here. It's good to see all of you and to be here with you tonight, to be able to sing with you and study with you. Tonight's order of service will be a little bit different. Before Jeff gets us started with that, we're going to sing a single song, A Common Love, number 340 in the large hymnal. 340. We'll sing through this song twice.
A common love for each other, common gift to the Savior, a common mark holding us to the Lord, a common strength when we're weary, a common hope.
As Kyle said, we are going to have a little bit different arrangement in our services tonight. We're going to have a little bit of a very short lesson, sermon, and then some songs and then some prayers that really are going to piggyback on top of what we talked about this morning. It's important for us to understand the Bible and how it all fits together and the arguments that are made. But it's also important for us to embrace that, for us to declare that. For us to say with our own mouths that the truths that are found in God's Word are in fact the truths that we embrace. We just sang this song about all of the things that we have that are common, the joy and the love and the bond and all of the things that we have in common. There's so much unity that surrounds God. And the gospel is really at the center of that. There is one gospel, and because of that gospel, we have this unity. And that's the theme that runs through the book of Galatians. If you have your Bibles, open up to Galatians chapter 2 again. And we looked this morning at chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, talking about the hypocrisy of Peter as he withdrew from those of the Gentiles when he felt the pressure from the Judaizing teachers. I'd like for us to read these verses again, but rather than with the hypocrisy of Peter, let's read them as if he reacted properly. Let's read them as if he embraced his brethren. Let's read them as if he upheld the fact that his Gentile brethren were just as much brothers and sisters as his Jewish brethren. Chapter 2 and verse 11. But when Peter came to Antioch, I stood with him, to his face, because he was to be commended. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came in, he stood with them, and he embraced them, because he did not fear those of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews, they also stood with their brethren, with Peter, so that even Barnabas stood and embraced his brethren. What a joy it is that we have brothers and sisters in Christ. What a joy it is that we can accept each other based upon our mutual relationship with God, based upon our mutual adherence to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In chapter 3, we haven't gotten here yet, but we will shortly. Chapter 3 and verse 28, Paul summarizes it well when he says, "There is neither Jew or Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." We're going to sing two songs, both of which are going to be declarations. Declarations of our hearts to our brethren. That we are one. That we are united. That we accept each other as brethren. With all of the differences we may have, we have the gospel of Jesus Christ in common. So as we sing this song, I hope that you will think about not just brethren in general, but your brethren right here. You and I, as we work together as part of the Jordan Park Church of Christ, we are brothers and sisters. And because of that, we have a unique and a beautiful relationship. This song talks about that. These two songs talk about this. And these two songs allow us to declare that to one another. And then Brother Herbert is going to lead us in prayer. Kyle?
Number 334, "How Sweet, How Heavenly." The supplemental book. 112. "We are one." If it's not too much trouble and if it's convenient for you, I'd ask that you stand as we sing this. But just as Jeff was speaking about us standing together as brethren. This is a powerful song, and I hope you'll sing out to each other with me. "We are one." Let us pray together.
Our God and our Father, we come to you now, and we ask that you look upon each one of us. And where we have fallen short, and we have sinned against you, we ask that you please forgive us. Where we are weak, at times we do not fulfill your commands. We do not always do what you ask of us. And sometimes we do things that we should not be doing, even whether it's in word, whether it's in thought, or whether it's in deed, or our failure to act in the way that you want us to. Please forgive us that we might be just even now. We ask, dear Father, that you please help each one of us to look inside. Help us to understand what it means for us to all speak the same thing. What it means for us all to be of one mind, of the same mind, and judgment. Help us, Father, to love your word, the one gospel, and adhere to its true and righteous principles, just as you want us to, just as Jesus gave the example for us to, as he came to do not his will, but yours. May our will be to do your will. And ask your Father that you help us to have the wisdom and the understanding that we need in order to truly be one, knowing that our purpose in this life is to serve you. Our desire is to be that, of being a servant. To serve first you, Father, and then to serve one another. Help us, Father, to be mindful of others so that we can put them above even ourselves. Help us to truly understand what it means for us to truly love each other and to understand that as we look at each other, we look with pure eyes, not eyes that are discriminating, but sincere and full of love for one another, that we might not in any way show respect for others, but that we might appreciate one another, realizing that each and every one of us all stand before you as sinful creatures with a need to be forgiven so that we can be a part of your family. And as we are parts of your family, that we are made one to serve you and to accomplish your purpose. Thank you so much, Father, for showing us. But just help us to realize what it means when we are interacting with one another, that we're not all at the same level of maturity in your family. So therefore, we must learn patience. We must exercise patience with one another. We must exercise the ability to be gentle and kind, to be tender-hearted, to feel for each other, to be happy, be joyful, to be sad. Help us, Father, to share with one another those things that are appropriate. And help us, Father, to be able to bear with one another, always exercising self-control. We need so much, Father, your help for us to have the kind of faith that is able to shun all of the temptations that Satan would tempt us with that would cause conflicts among us. You have loved us so much and you provided for us. Please help us to be desirous and willing to support one another, to encourage one another, and in love offer an instruction and even at times necessary a rebuke to help each other in our quest to be faithful servants. We thank you so much for your love and care and ask you to help us to truly be one as you and Christ are one, that we may be one together in Christ with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I thought about, I don't know if you remember, Brian Alexander a while ago had us all face each other when we were singing songs about one another. I thought about that. I didn't know if we knew this song well enough, We Are One, to be able to accomplish that. Plus, we're not used to that, and it's kind of distracting to look at all of you in the face, actually. But I did that in my mind's eye. I hope you did, too. Went around the auditorium, the different brethren here. It would have been fascinating to have had, and I kind of did that in my mind, too, had a slideshow when we were singing that song of all of the things that we go through together. I thought of the Vacation Bible School, the sounds and sights, and the men's studies that we've had, as well as some of our gospel meetings and times that we spend together in Bible class. And I saw a lot of smiles. Our get-togethers at the end of the month at each other's homes, eating in each other's homes, and I saw some tears too, at the hospital and at the funeral homes and difficulties that we're struggling through. It's a wonderful thing to be part of the family of God, and I appreciate you and love you very much. This next section, we're going to talk really one point, the salvation by faith in Christ, but break it into 2 points. The first here, let's read chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 again, where he says, "We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ. And not by works of law, but by the works of the law, no flesh is justified." One comment that was made is just how repetitive Paul is. And in this one verse, verse 16, he says the same thing 3 times. It's sort of like, make sure you get this. We are not justified by the works of law. We're justified by faith in Christ. And we understand that. Obviously, Paul is talking about him as a Jew, but we as Gentiles, we understand that as well. Man has tried to figure it out. The scientists, the philosophers, the world religion leaders have tried to figure out how to be reconciled to God. It's one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. And I've often wondered, you know, why in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve sinned, why didn't Jesus just die then so that they could have the forgiveness of sins? Well, I think part of that answer is man needed to be prepared with the types and shadows. And I wonder if part of the reason is that man needed to understand that he couldn't do it on his own. And in fact, God gave him 4,000 years to try to figure it out on his own. He tried all kinds of different things, failed every time. So God sent Jesus, the one Redeemer for all time. We'll sing two songs, both of which emphasize and focus on the death of Christ and our declaration of our acceptance of that. The first song first looks at God the Father, then Jesus the Son, and then us as we stand there at the cross. And the second song is much more of a declaration, of a praise, of a glory to God for what He's given to us in that cross. And then Mark McMurray will lead us in prayer.
Number 448, How Deep the Father's Love. We'll pick up the pace a little bit on the third verse. Number 305, Glory to His Name. Well, I'm just going to have to blow the starting note here.
Down. you would, let's all bow together as we pray. Father in heaven, how great is thy name, and how great thou art. We humbly come to you at this time, so thankful that you are our God and our Father. Father, you blessed us from the very beginning as you have created all that we know and all that we have in this world. And even from the beginning, Father, your creation was such that you had a plan in place for us, and that you created us in your image with the ability to choose our own destiny. Like no other part of creation, you gave us that choice, and you gave us the path, and you gave us the knowledge to make the decision on our own. Father, we thank you for that. For from the very beginning, you planned that you had a place for us in eternity if we would but have it. You planned our salvation. You planned to make it possible through the perfect sacrifice of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who was with you in the beginning, who was part of the plan, so that we may have this hope of salvation. Father, we give you our thanksgiving, and we pray that our gratitude to you may be shown in obedience to your word, in obedience to your plan, your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for your love. For Father, you've taught us how to love, and you've taught us what love is by loving us first, by thinking of us, by preparing a way for us, by planning. But you've also taught us what grace is, because we don't deserve this love. You loved us first, and yet you love us again and again because we sin so many times. And you've made a way possible for us through your Son to have a salvation with you. It's a love we don't deserve, and yet through your grace, you've made that plan possible for us. We thank you so much for the perfect example of Jesus Christ here on this earth, for his sacrifice for us that made all this possible. You've instructed us through your word, as we've read again here this evening, Father, that no one can be justified by the works of law. And yet we understand that, but we don't understand why we're worthy of such salvation and such hope. But you've also taught us that we can be justified by active belief in Jesus Christ, by simple following the plan that you've laid out for us. All this can be possible through him. You've taught us that no man comes to you except through your Son and our Savior. And we understand that plan, and we thank you for it. We thank you for providing us this hope, this salvation, all made possible through our Savior, our Mediator, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that in all things your will be done. We close this prayer through your Son and our Savior that makes it possible to talk to you. We pray that your will always be done. From Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So the practical application of this salvation by grace, salvation through faith, is what Paul says in chapter 2 and verse 20 of Galatians, when he says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul said that his life was no longer his. He belonged now to Jesus Christ, and Christ was living through him. Why did he do that? Why did he let Jesus take over his life? Why was he letting the principles of Christ dictate the decisions that he made in life? He did it because that's what faith is, and faith is necessary for us to be saved. For Paul to be saved, he had to let Jesus Christ live through his life. Why did he do that? The second reason is because he trusted Jesus. Jesus' way is the best way. Jesus' principles are the principles that will bring about the best life for us, the most mature life for us, the very how we can be the children of God in a mature way is found by living in the principles of Christ. We believe that. We trust God in that. We trust Jesus Christ in that. So we let Jesus live in us. And a third reason, I think, is because we want the light of Christ to shine in our lives. We want to reflect the light of Jesus Christ so that others can, in their walk, be illuminated, so that others can be attracted to the light that's found in Jesus Christ. We're going to sing song number 311, and then Brother Craig Knight will lead us in a prayer. And as we sing this song, Christ Liveth in Me, once again, it is a declaration of our heart unto God that Christ lives in me. Number 311.
Please pray with me. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news of your Son. We thank you for the gospel that was delivered by him and through him. We recognize, Heavenly Father, that there is no other gospel, and that there is no other way by which men, by which we may be saved. We're mindful, Heavenly Father, of the cross on which he hung suspended between heaven and earth. And we're mindful, Heavenly Father, of the two crosses on either side of his. And we know, Heavenly Father, that those crosses were occupied by thieves, one who scorned your Son and one who recognized him as someone who was not like anyone who had ever walked on this earth before. But we're mindful, Heavenly Father, of the Apostle Paul and how the Apostle Paul claimed, in a sense, to have been on one of those other crosses. We're mindful of how Paul would claim in his letter to the Galatians that he had been crucified with Christ. He wasn't on his right hand or on his left hand, but he had given up himself and he had made the purpose of his life to answer that call that he heard after his trip to Damascus. Help us, Heavenly Father, to put ourselves on that other cross. Help us to, as your Son and our Lord did, align our will to your will. Help us to align our ways to your ways. Help us to align our thoughts to your thoughts, because we know that your ways are so much higher than ours, and your thoughts are so much higher than ours. We recognize, Heavenly Father, that one of the issues that can face us as we try to live out our lives as living sacrifices is that it's easy for us to sometimes want to crawl down from on top of the altar. But help us to exhibit a patient faith. Help us to be thankful for that sacrifice that we've already discussed and that it's already been mentioned in prayer before you tonight. Help us to crucify our own selfishness. Help us not to be boastful or proud. Help us not to envy one another. Help us not to be easily angered. And help us not to hold grudges against one another or to keep records of those wrongs that might have been committed against us. Rather, Heavenly Father, let us mold ourselves to the image of your Son who hung on that cross in the center. Help us to pray for those who persecute us as your Son did. Help us to be concerned for the affairs of others as your Son was. Help us, Heavenly Father, as we try to place ourselves on that cross, to look around us and to see how many people around us need to also be on that cross, and help us to show that narrow way to as many people as possible, knowing that it is not your desire for any to perish, but for all to come to a repentance through an awareness of where they have failed and to stand in a right position with you. Help us to bring Christ into our lives and to let those who need to learn of you and about you to see Christ living in us. And we're thankful, Heavenly Father, that you've promised us that if we live in that way, there's a home for us in an upper and better kingdom. And we are thankful that you are faithful in your promises. And it's in the name of your Son, who we hope to emulate, that we pray. Amen.
In just a moment, we're going to sing song number 815, Bring Christ Your Broken Life. It is an appropriate song at the end of this lesson for those that are not yet Christians to recognize the tremendous privilege that there is in bringing a broken life to Christ. Because that broken life can be made whole. That broken life can be made like new again. We can be born again into the family of God. If you're not a Christian, we would encourage you to come to Christ, confessing your belief in Him and being willing to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, taking advantage of this gospel. This gospel is a tremendous privilege, but you got to trust it enough to use it. If you've not yet used it, if you've not yet become a Christian, we'd encourage you to become one. If you are a Christian, for some reason, have gotten off the regiment, you're not taking your medicine like you should, not following the Lord, we would encourage you as well to come back to the Lord. Won't you come as we stand and sing?